Our first reading for Reformation Day is from Revelation chapter 14. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading comes from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just as the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. What then becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You rise. Gospel according to John chapter 8. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thank you. grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is just one of my little favorite books, Just Words. If you know anything about LCMS history, its author might be a little bit controversial. It's J.A.O. Preuss. But it's not Preuss crossing church political swords, but it's Preuss at his best, as a clear teacher of the fullness of the gospel. It's a paradox of the faith, that those who are capable of causing great enmity are often those who understand that fullness. Just Words, as a title, is a cute little thing. Preuss himself died in 1994, and this book wasn't published until 2000. So it was the last thing he was working on. Maybe nobody expected anything more. Just Words. But what he really meant by that title was just words. The way that Scripture uses to communicate the reality of what Jesus Christ did for us on that cross. Just, short for justification. Just, as in the words that proclaim us free. Former President Preuss walks through several word domains, life-giving, such as new birth, like we witnessed today, or light, or bread and water, commerce, like ransom, or redemption, or becoming the property of Christ, legal, justification itself, or our intercessor, our adoption, our inheritance, personal, reconciled, peace, marriage, sacrificial, the Lamb. Those are all metaphors that the Scriptures use for what Christ has done for us. But then Preuss, I think, saved the best for last. He went into deliverance, salvation, freedom, victory. I've in the past shied away from this John 8 text for Reformation Day. The Romans text lands us safely in that legal realm with a heavy side of the sacrificial and the commerce, justified by grace through the redemption put forward as a propitiation by Christ's blood. That's the text that Luther was reading when he had his Eureka moment. When the righteousness of God was no longer a lightning bolt that was sent down to kill him for his sinfulness, but it became the free gift given apart from our works. Given not because one promised to be a monk, but given because it was God's good, free pleasure. There's an alternate text from Matthew that I've used a few Reformation days when I focused a little bit more on Luther himself. That text was Jesus talking about the Baptist and himself and how nobody got them. They didn't look like what anybody wanted. Luther fits both of Jesus' allusions. When Luther played the scholar, they would not debate it, and they banned his works. When he acted the rogue, they would say, "See, you can't hold a decent conversation with him." It's a paradox of the faith that those who know it best often have cruciform lives, that they can satisfy nobody. What do you see in such cross lives? The shame or the justification? Foolishness or the gospel that saves? But John 8 talks about freedom. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Of all the domains that just words, that's the deepest one. But it's also the most likely one to be received wrongly. Received wrongly because we don't understand our own original position. Received wrongly because we settle for something shallow when the full depth is on offer. Jesus is preaching at the festival of booths, Sukkot, which is the fall festival of the Jewish calendar. And it's the end times tinged festival. And on the last day of that festival, Jesus stands out and declares that out of himself will come the rivers of living water. And the Pharisees and the chief priests want to grab him right there. But their own guards ask them back, "Have you heard the man preach?" They were afraid of those crowds because they had. And Jesus comes back at them saying, "I'm the light of the world." In both cases, the point was that we were barren fields and lifeless deserts, that we were standing in the darkness. By ourselves, we're dead and we can't discern the truth. Even if we want to, we end up like the Pharisees, just playing power games. In Luther's day, you'd buy an indulgence, visit some relics, go on a pilgrimage. Those in power said, "Do these things and you're doing good." And Luther had done them all, and he still felt dry and dark. Of course, today, those in power would say, "Acquire all that you can, have as much sex in any form that you want that you can, but be mindful, be nice. Give back." Every generation has its own moralism. And every generation's moralism is just as dry and just as dark as the others. But to those who believed in him, Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answer Jesus with the moralisms of their day. "We aren't slaves. We're the children of Abraham." As Paul would talk about himself, "We're circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to righteousness under the law, blameless." "We've got this, Jesus. We're doing everything that we've been told to do. We're checking all the right boxes." Jesus challenges them back, "Really? You've kept it perfectly. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you've broken it, you've bought it. You'll be running that wheel forever. Are you sure that that's what you want to do? There's always someone out there who's done it better, who has more power at it than you. You'll be a slave to whatever system you've set up. And as much as you think that it's your house, that you're the good children of Abraham, the Pope, the Church, America, personal fulfillment, you're a slave to these things. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. But if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." Free from the moralisms of the day, free from the petty strivings, free from the darkness, free for the truth, free for the Word. The Son, the true heir of the household of God, has come down from heaven, And unlike all of us, sons of Adam and daughters of Eve, born into sin, this one was the new Adam. He wasn't in darkness, but was in the light of his Father. He wasn't dead like us, but alive in the Spirit. He wasn't broke, but he was the heir. And he came to give us his inheritance. This one was free, and he came to give us an eternal place in that household. The same freedom of the Son is the freedom that he offers us. Come into the grace of the Father. Come home from the far country. Come into the feast. Luther feared a vindictive God. The most simple form of the freedom Christ bought us is freedom from that fear. This life is yours. Lightning bolts aren't going to fry you. Karma or nemesis is not looking around the corner. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. And this is what I meant by freedom being the most dangerous. We are free to trade that inheritance for a pot of stew. We're free to trade it for the moralisms of the day. We're even free to trade it for being a liberty. But what Christ really bought us for the first time since the fall was the freedom to choose the truth, the freedom to opt for the right. And we know what that is. It's written on all of our hearts. Love God and love your neighbor. And the deep freedom that Christ has bought us is his freedom. Freedom that would bear the cross because it was the Father's will. Freedom to forgive 70 times 7 those who do us wrong. Freedom not to repay an eye for an eye, but to love our enemies. Freedom to no longer be the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve, but the children of God, children who are free to live in his love. It's a deep freedom because the Son remains in the house forever. The freedom that we've been given is not the freedom of the 16-year-old with the car for the first time, be home by 11, or that car turns into a pumpkin. It's not the freedom of a junior employee whose work and decisions might go through lots of levels of approval. It's not even the freedom of a senior employee who can always be fired. We've been given the freedom of a household. If we want to knock a hole in the wall, we can. If we want to leave the house and let it rot, we can. But if we wish to build it with the best material, we can. If we wish to find our house a hovel and leave it made of marble, we can. From the time that we've been dunked in those waters, we're part of the household of God. We live in that freedom that Christ bought us. Paul talks about the day exposing what we've done. Some will escape as through a burning building, but they will escape. Others shall see their work built on the rock stand. The freedom that those waters bring is not just for now, but it's forever. Don't trade it away for a temporal pittance. Don't be afraid of a vindictive God such that you go and bury your freedom until he comes back. There's always more grace. You're playing with the house's money as if it were. The only tragedy of our freedom in Christ is not to be a saint. You're free. Free to build a house that everyone wants to live in. Free to walk daily with God Himself. Amen.